Hello, and welcome to another episode of BS Reactor. Here at the show, we get our friends to talk about stuff we couldn't get other people in our lives to chat with us about. This time, we're diving into the 2019 comedy-drama emotional minefield, The Farewell. We make use of spoilers and adult language to get our points across. So if you don't like that sort of thing, tap stop before the music ends. Make sure to like and subscribe if you enjoy the show. That way we have a little validation that what we're doing is actually working. And thanks for listening. We appreciate you.
I think they should redo Jock Jams.
No, like, because it'd be a bunch of like,
it's perfect the way
it'd be
it
a
is,
bunch of you. Stupid mumble rapping.
You said Jellyfish Jams.
Well, Jellyfish. Like, did you hear about Rick Ross's remix of Vanilla Ice's song?
No.
What?
Okay, but here's the thing: if I never hear anything about Rick Ross in my life, it's okay.
Or Vanilla Ice anymore.
But bitch, so bad she looked like a bag of money.
Absolutely not Vanilla Ice.
But hey, look, the last thing I saw about Vanilla Ice is he had that reality TV show where he was remodeling houses.
Yeah.
And then he went to an Amish country.
Yeah.
He made remodeled houses in the Amish country.
It's hilarious because his remodeling show is a show that could only work in Miami because the shit they're making these things out of are so like Southern Florida type thing. You're like, yeah, he couldn't do that anywhere else.
It's like gator skin gutters or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like.
No, not all the time. Sometimes he does it normal.
Yeah, he does like normal stuff, but some of the accent stuff he does that is
oh, yeah,
only
the
works,
accent shit is stupid.
Like, only works in Southern Florida.
Dude, when he went Amish, though, they would not let him do any of that shit. They were like, really? we want normal cabinets. We want normal everything. Stop fucking with us. And then he was like, okay. And then he'd like redo like a door frame. And that was it.
He'd
redo a door frame and open up like a little window area that leads to the kitchen or something. Like that's it.
We're going to teach y'all Amish about the past.
Oh, and then help somebody who got a fridge because some Amish people use fridges now. They don't have the clearance, so they have to break out the wall. He literally does minor renovations on Amish people's houses.
Yeah.
They don't tear down their houses at all.
I just but want the Amish to have technology inflation. Like ours goes up like 3% every year, whatever.
Dude,
I just feel like their technology should go up 3% every
Dave
year.
Dave Chappelle said it best when he was driving by that dude in the buggy. He was like Ezekiel, are you sure God doesn't want you to have any of this electricity? he's like I'm going all the way over to blah blah blah. It's 25 minute drive for me, half a day ride for you.
They have pulled up
vroom,
vroom. He said huh, I can't hear you, nigga. Hang on, let me turn down this radio.
Yo, let me turn down this radio. And I was like, oh, man.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And then you see, like, Mennonites who freak me out because they're Amish people, but they're like, yeah, we'll have a phone. Or what? We believe there should actually be electricity in our house.
There was a dude I went to college with that was a Dutch reform guy. And from a distance, you just like everyone would just say he's Amish or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like he's getting a medical degree to go back to his community to like everyone. He just dresses like in traditional clothes. Like the rest of his life was.
I'm not going to lie. I think a lot of those kids leave and they're like, dog, fuck this.
Yeah,
like,
Rumspringer is rough. Yeah.
Fuck this. Mm-hmm. Like they don't have to do nothing.
I like that they do that for those kids.
Me
because
too.
Yeah.
If you go back, that makes you realize you really want to stay in there. That's good. Because if I'm, but all the times those kids, I watched that Nat Geo, what's it called Amish God Wild or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And it's about the kids going on that. A lot of them go back only because, like, well, I miss
my
family.
How wild do they get?
Some get wild. Like, they'd be going out to clubs and shooting dope into the eyeballs and shit.
Oh, shit. Whoa, hold
having
on. This
sex.
Is not the Girls Gone Wild I thought it was. You need to chill out a little bit.
They go, because it's like being in prison. You get out of prison, you've been trapped in prison for 17 years, you get out, you're like, oh, shit, there's so much stuff I haven't seen. Let me go do it all.
Yeah, you're not wrong. All right, we can get started.
Okay, cool. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to BSR. This time we're doing The Farewell. And today we have
Malik,
Pat,
Evan,
Jasmine,
and I'm Isaac.
That was not Isaac farting, by the way.
Isaac has much manlier farts.
It's true. It's more girthy. I got bigger pipes.
That's what she said.
All right. So,
let's go.
Yeah, so this one came out in 2019.
Talk about his penis.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop.
So this one came out in 2019, right before COVID, right?
Thick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thick and veiny.
Jesus Christ.
Should we just start over?
No, hell no. Yeah.
Keep going. Damn it.
You did. Stop. All right, go. Please, Isaac, go ahead. Start.
Okay. So this came out.
Come on, Subway.
All right. Pat,
I'm sorry. Sorry.
You got to go. You got to leave.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all stop talking.
Okay. So The Farewell came out in 2019. It was directed by Lulu Wang and based on her experiences. So,
oh, this is actually her.
Yeah. It's based on her life. It's like an autobiographical kind of situation. Yeah.
I mean, if I could take an important thing in my life and then have Awkwafina play me, I'd do it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Every day. So, yeah, she did a This American Life interview. Well, you know, one of those NPR shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right after that, a couple studios were fighting over who's going to buy the rights to mm-hmm. this story. And after a couple of things, because like some bigger studios offered her money to produce this, including Disney, but they all wanted to change things because it's,
of course,
it's an American movie, it's mm-hmm. a Chinese movie, but it doesn't quite fit in either category necessarily. Mm. Like if you watch American cinema, usually it doesn't go this deep into character development. And Chinese cinema, it's very different too. So Disney offered her a bunch of money. Like she didn't actually say Disney specifically. She just said like a big studio offered her a bunch of money to make this thing. And she was like, I would rather make the movie that I want to make as opposed to what they're saying
they want
to
make.
Because they wanted to turn this into a straight up rom-com and like give her a white boyfriend. Like it would be her wedding that she's fighting for.
Nah. And
like that whole thing. And it's like, I mean.
Oh, lame as fuck.
That sounds like lame,
totally
right?
Gets what the point of the movie is.
Like, exactly, right?
It's supposed to portray her actual experience. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and like a lot of this is about familial culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which makes it very important that she is uninvolved, unmarried, has no kids, because that's the kind of shit everyone's gonna ask about,
right? Yeah.
Like that makes up
her first
contact in the movie with literally every member of her family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
what job, what career is she having?
Yeah,
what you doing, bitch?
Yeah, what are you up to?
What is her career?
Okay, they
what is
that?
Her career?
She's a writer. Fired
writer or something.
Yeah, she's a writer. Yeah,
she got fired, right?
She has a degree that she's trying to use, and it's hard for everyone to use the degree you have. Because like the original story probably took place in like 2007 or so. Maybe 2009, somewhere in there.
Still mattered to have a fucking degree.
But like people could actually get, you know,
jobs. Steady employment. Yeah,
so that was fun. So yeah, she got an offer from A24 and they were basically like, okay, we'll give you money. Not much, but we'll give you money to make the film that you actually want to make. Cast the people you want to cast and not fuck with your script too much. So she was
like, notable that this is, I think, A24's first PG movie.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A24.
They've never gone this light before.
There were no naked witches in this movie, Jasmine.
Is this our first A24 film?
No.
The Witch, right?
Oh, The Witch.
Hang on.
I thought that was Annapurna.
No, I'm sorry. Right. I've watched a lot of them.
Okay.
Because Midsommar is just a dumpster fire.
It has its audience.
People rave for that fucking movie. That movie sucked ass.
It wasn't great.
It was bad.
I will tell you that Everything Everywhere All at Once was amazing.
Yes. It was great. See, we bought it twice, and then like for the year it came out, I did it for our White Elephant.
Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. I wanted to watch that one, but
it's really good.
No, I bet it is. I just never got around to sitting and watching it.
It took me until after, like a while after, to realize that the person playing her daughter in that is the same one that was in Joyride, and I was like, I know who you are. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So when you watch that movie, you'll wonder why she didn't win an Oscar over Jamie Courage.
Wait, time out. Time out. What are you talking about?
Everything Everywhere.
Fuck that. We're talking about The Farewell. Come on. We got to stay on task.
Yeah, so we can do that one eventually. All right,
so like when they bring up her career, what she's looking for is she applied for a fellowship with the Guggenheim Foundation.
Yeah,
which
is music, like, right?
That's which a little is, bit of embellishment from the real story because she was trying to get a career in Hollywood.
Well, yeah, but like what the Guggenheim Foundation does is they select people based on, you know, storytelling and like it's for creative medium, specifically just making art for the sake of art.
Mm-hmm.
And like a fellowship is just, we're gonna fund you to make what you make for however
to be
long.
A creative.
Yeah, it's the Google
time. And like and very specifically, like no restrictions, no limitations, just
so if I get financed by the Googlyheim, I can make porn
if you want to
if that's art. What they hire you to do.
I mean, you got to tell them what you're so, about and yeah. submit stuff. So nigga, you got to make some porn first.
Nigga, you damn straight. They're going to be like, is this you? Yeah, you like it?
Is right. it? Is it? Wait, are you going to be in the porn or are you just
say
it?
Yeah.
Why would I record other people?
Because I was just saying, just based on track records, you might not. You might not. You might need to stop being straight if you don't get it done.
These are some dynamic shots. How'd you do this? I have lots of cameras.
Director with an umlaut.
Yeah, like this kind of starts out with how her life is going.
Yeah, and yeah. So she's struggling to make rent.
Yeah, it largely it opens like, yeah. with like she's uh-huh. behind on rent, mm-hmm. and the people she's renting from want her out because it's mm-hmm. she's
they
not
could
paying.
Raise the rent. Yeah,
yeah, and like she just got the rejection for the uh-huh. fellowship. Yep. That's like they only select 100 and some out of thousands of people.
Right. Yeah.
So
if any of you have tried to get into a brick and mortar grad school, you're familiar with these letters.
Yeah.
All right. So like the Farewell came out. It did very well at the ratings. It got Golden Globes, nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. It lost to Parasite, so whatever. But Parasite destroyed. So like Awkwafina won Best Actress for Musical or Comedy and nominated, won a ton of awards, has on Rotten Tomatoes a 97%. IMDb is about 7.5. People don't like reading subtitles. That's probably what's going on there. Yeah. But
I don't either. Yeah. But
who the fuck is Awkwafina?
She's a rapper.
Who
was she in the movie?
The main character.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Yeah. Every time y'all kept saying that, a water bottle just kept popping.
No,
that's intentional.
So she was a comedy rapper on YouTube for a while because she wanted to get her start with something.
Yeah, she very much is willing to tell you about her vagina in verse.
Okay,
yeah,
I don't want to talk about it.
That's
anymore.
A good song, actually. Anyways, that's how I initially ran into her. There's also a song about queefs. Yeah, it's how I initially ran into her as a comedian. And mm-hmm. then she was in Crazy Rich Asians before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was like, I went to this movie blind, completely blind. Mm-hmm. All I knew was Awkwafina was in it. It was like, oh, this will be funny. It'll be great. Yeah. And I showed up and it was like,
fuck you,
I'm not trying. Fuck you, movie. This movie won a bunch of awards and had about a $3 million budget, but it made $23 million and then counting with online sales. It did really good for what it was and put her on the map. She can basically direct whatever she wants now. So
also worth noting, just looking into stuff, several piano bits in it. That Billy, the main character, played piano as a child because she was an Asian child, basically. And let it go, but like she's mm-hmm. there are scenes where like her stress in this situation shows through in how she plays.
Yeah.
And the director also played all the piano parts of the soundtrack.
She did, yeah. And because it says in the movie that
she in fact
she gave up playing on the thing, piano and but yeah, she's played piano for 20 some odd years, she said in a couple mm-hmm. interviews. So like it's a thing that she kept on. In China, this movie kind of flopped. It only made $580,000 because, like, while it's novel for us that this is like a thing,
this
right?
is just
in China, they're like, well, yeah. So,
no
what?
Shit. a solid chunks of the budget were just like lady who plays the grandma is mm-hmm. like in demand.
Oh yeah.
She is.
Oh really?
When they tried to hire her,
yeah,
they were kind of lowballing her contract and it was like, no, I'm a big deal over here. Cause she's like a stage actress over there
mm-hmm.
who has done hundreds of plays. She is pretty famous over there.
Yeah.
So they actually paid her money. So
and it's just like, it's
that's good.
You had to make
great
it.
In this.
It's not even like you had to pay her for this role. You had to make it worth her time to get involved.
Right.
It's wild.
Awkwafina wanted to be in this. She lived with her grandmother for a while. She's actually part Chinese, part Korean, and had to learn Chinese. She studied Chinese only a couple years before she took this role.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that kind of plays into the role because she was the character mm-hmm. is largely raised in America. And China's also really uptight about linguistic purity for a mm-hmm. lot of this. So like the fact that her Chinese isn't flawless is it just comes up. It's not even like people are berating her or whatever. It's just, oh, you're Chinese. Isn't good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious because she'll be like, oh, my Chinese is that good, but then she'll just go off speaking
she's
Chinese the whole way.
She's
like,
speaking
oh,
with an American accent.
But she'll be like, oh wait, what's this word mean? Bah, okay.
Yeah.
Then she'll just keep going off speaking Chinese.
Just,
I'm just like
there's just words she doesn't mm-hmm. use every day.
Then. Right, yeah. And if you live in Queens, which you know.
Yeah. I mean if you live in Flushing,
they make stuff up all the time. I'm
the Mandarin surrounds you, but
exactly. Awkwafina, her real name is Nora Lum. She's a rapper, comedian, actress. She was in Ocean's 8, Crazy Rich Asians, Jumanji, Renfield.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't that.
Shang-Chi, Angry Birds 2, Raya the Last Dragon, et cetera, et cetera. She's got a good career going.
Yeah.
Also, Nora from Queens is on HBO. Yeah. It's amazing. Everyone should watch that. I think that's closer to her biography than
the first season.
So she learned Mandarin so she could talk with her grandmother. So this is kind of in the pocket for her. So yeah, this one is legit good. If anyone out there in our audience hasn't seen this and care at all about spoilers, definitely watch this one because, I mean, we're going to shit on it a little bit because we're us, right? But
I don't have a lot of negative.
I don't really have negatives about the movie, but the things that are in it, I will shit on the Chinese concept of face all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. if you don't think this movie...
root of everything wrong with humanity. Yeah,
if you don't think this movie is at least decent, you definitely have some, like, personal problems. So just throwing it out there. Like, if we found out Malik did, like... if you read hundreds of pages of Mrs. Potts erotica, we would assume that there's something wrong with you.
So when you say Mrs. Potts, I'm thinking about the tea pot from Beauty and the Beast. I would not look at that shit. That's not hot.
About how, like, he's got a really, like, slutty tea koozie on or something.
I'm like, what the fuck? Bitch, you're a kettle.
she's just lounging on that doily.
Look, the only adjective they could use to describe her is round, and that would probably do something for
her. Her spout fully in view.
Her spout fully
in view. Seeing how many forks she can get in her.
Her
lid askew.
Mrs. Potts, colon, hot and steamy.
As she's slowly pouring the hot.
Somebody's going to write that email.
Don't talk that into existence. Someone's going to fucking AI generate that shit.
You just make the situation hotter and hotter till she whistles for you, baby.
No, that's okay.
Actually, you think you could make money? You probably could make money off that.
Yeah. You get sued by Disney, but yeah.
No, you just changed the name. Mrs. Kettle.
No, yeah. It's not the same to me, though.
Kettle lady. Then it's just a lady just at the head of the kettle.
Just give her a first name. Like, call her whatever name Potts once.
Mrs.
And then
Fletcher.
Just call her by her first name the rest of the time.
Call her Doug. That'll piss people off.
No, I'm not going to say Mrs. Fletcher. If I'm going to make porn about Angela Lansbury, I'm just going to do it.
Call her Angela Lansbury?
That's a thing, too, right? I will not be ashamed of being into Angela Lansbury.
I don't think you can I think you can get sued for that, but I don't think that person's actually going to go and do it.
How far off does it have to be till it's a parody? Because, like, Saturday Night Live can do whatever they want to.
As long as you can make a solid case for satirical.
Yeah, as long as you can make sure it's satirical and there's no defamation in there, you're fine.
Okay, so yeah, I'm just gonna do the spoilers first because a lot of the reviews that I listen to about this and podcasts and whatever basically just spend half the runtime saying how awesome this film is, and we already know it's awesome, we don't really need to cover that. So just gonna throw the spoilers out here from the get-go so we could just know.
And Pat's making a face. Was it not awesome, Pat?
No, it was.
Highlight the spoilers and then we'll just make inserts here and there. We don't have to do a huge synopsis.
No, we don't have to go through every scene either. I almost called off this one. I put it in the Discord and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this because most of the scenes are like, this thing happens and everyone is wrecked emotionally. And then this thing happens and they're like, fuck.
Literally most of the movie, Awkwafina is just staring off into space.
Yeah. Dude. But when she was in New York, she was like happy and vibrant and talking to people. So you can see that shift.
She arrived in China.
That's called acting.
And she just staring off into space. Mm-hmm. Something happened. Oh no. Let's not tell somebody. Staring off into space.
it's deeply affecting.
Something else happened. That bird.
Off into space.
Okay, so the bird was a harbinger of death. So, like, anyway, we'll get there. Spoiler number one. Grandma doesn't die.
That's some bullshit.
She's still alive. Grandma says 2024.
It is wild to me that, like, at the end where they show that part, I expected to see some form of eulogy or something at the end. Too. Like I was
dedicated
saying,
to the memory of.
Here she is,
Like hey, over here dancing, and I was like, "Was she even sick?" Hold on, I call bullshit.
I just imagined her doing a gritty.
Yeah, she's over there freaking
Fortnite dance. Like
she over there freaking doing the stanky leg and shit. Yeah. This old ass bird supposed to be dead.
She's like, "I ain't going nowhere, well, bitch." Like,
Tai Chi. Not only is she still alive, the movie came out in China. And, like, they hadn't told her, right?
So, like, damn.
And then she found, because they knew they filmed in town, right? Almost at her apartment. They was in the same area. And they were like, wait, in the Chinese title, this is don't tell her. And eventually she found out the her is, like, her right?
Wait, like, they didn't tell her that she was sick or didn't tell her that she was sick?
No, they, she didn't
they
know.
Still hadn't she, told her she was sick.
They filmed all this and she had no clue.
Yeah. She doesn't speak English. She doesn't know the press cycle,
that's,
right?
That's awesome.
It didn't do super well in China, but eventually she did see the movie, so...
She's like, what the fuck?
And then
she's
do you like, think that'd be like, and then she's like,
wait, I remember that wedding. Fuck you guys. Look,
she said, everybody come back, right? Fucking now. Yeah. Come here. We got to talk.
Family meeting now.
Yeah. Family meeting. Look, they get there. She pulls out like the old fucking boxer sword, just lays it on the fucking table. Mm-hmm. Just explain now.
Yeah. Also, I don't think they, hands. I don't think they covered that, did they?
What?
Like, they didn't go into, okay, now she knows. Nope. And like, we got
didn't
that
touch
she's,
that shit at
you
all.
Know, she's here in 2024.
Oh,
but that's
fuck
all
no.
We got
they were just like, good times dancing grandma.
Well then she's still there in 2019.
Yeah, when they filmed
it.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's still alive now.
She is.
Okay.
So, spoiler number two. She probably knew because she did the same thing to her husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all of her family randomly showing up and holding a party. She knows.
The one thing one thing we thought we knew was going to happen was she was going to die. And she did not die.
And it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm fine with, honestly. It makes it more authentic.
Like I was cheated. Bitch.
We were waiting.
Shut up.
We were waiting.
Granted, and this is a big, speculative meta-narrative, but we know in real life the grandmother died, but we don't know that grandmother in the movie didn't die. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, however you want to take that.
Still BS because she should have died in the movie.
So yeah, they did the same thing to her husband. That comes up halfway through the movie or whatever. Spoiler number three. And this is a thing that got covered in an interview is that grandma already knew she had cancer. Like she had been treated for cancer prior to this. Breast cancer, granted, not lung cancer in the film. She had a mastectomy and then didn't tell anyone. The only one that knew was her sister.
Sister's probably took her there.
Yeah, so she's doing the same thing to her family. It's like,
that
it's not their burden
doing
or whatever.
To her that she also did to her husband. Yeah. So like, how many
Well, I mean, this is where I get to the shit that pisses me off, and this is like just a whole cultural thing. We're like, especially, there's a lot of Southeast Asian things, but like China's really bad about the concept of face, where it's just like the appearance is everything. That's neat and all until it's literally everyone in the culture lives that way and they all fucking know everyone else does it and the charade is useless.
Right. And I'm like, this is why you don't have trade unions, kids.
It's different if you can literally do it and no one knows and it's like over at that point.
Yeah.
But when, like he said, when everybody fucking knows, like, why the fuck are you doing it, man? Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know he's lying.
It's just so completely ingrained that you have to keep up the illusion.
Except for the main character who had to figure out with us that this is what happens, because if that was in America we would have told, yo grandma, you dying girl.
And we'll see.
Good luck with that. Well, grandma's like, I'm gonna kill everyone in the next 3 weeks.
The trick there is that in America you couldn't have hidden the diagnosis.
It's illegal here.
Because you have to tell the patient what their diagnosis is.
But my thing is, I would only talk to my fucking doctor. I don't need to talk to no fucking body else. Tell me, I'll decide whether I tell them or not, and they're gonna be like, what happened to Malik? Oh, he didn't tell you guys he had terminal stage 4 cancer. He was gonna die in like 2 minutes.
Which is like, There's a scene in this.
Look, we gotta get there and see him. No, he's already dead.
There's a scene
he told
in
me to
this.
Wait 2 minutes before I
where there's intercept like a, the papers.
Well, not even that. Just like the doctor who's in the room.
Oh, speaks her in English.
Who speaks English, and you know, grandma doesn't, and Billy's just talking to him in English. Mm-hmm. Like, how?
Like, do you know?
Do you know about the cancer? And he's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't want to tell her. He's like, yeah, that's normal. We didn't tell my grandma.
Yeah,
and then he just straight up switches back into Chinese and lies to this old woman's face.
Probably pneumonia.
Bro,
they were
it's like I said, man. I'm going to talk to the doctor in my language.
Yeah.
In Malik language. In English.
Exactly.
And here's the thing. When they tell me I'm going to die, I'm not telling no fucking body. They'll be like, Malik, how you doing? I'm all
right. Right.
I mean, and look, like, if anything, I'm going to go die on a lake while I'm fishing. Like, I'm going to have a nice time when I die. If I know when I'm going to die or I'm expected, I'm going to do some fun shit. I'm going to jump out of a fucking plane. And then die in midair. Just
I'm not pulling that chute. Hello, Disney World.
Hey, little Lisa.
Wait.
Hey, little Lisa, I hope you don't mind that ruin your fourth birthday party.
Wait, what's more fucked up? Not pulling the cord.
Sky punch a child?
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, if you do pull it, you can steer better.
Bro, yeah. If you pull it and you die while you're floating down,
you just wouldn't splat.
The way I've always heard it is that it's better to die like Grandpa did, peacefully in your sleep, not screaming and panicking like everybody else in the car.
I just think of when we watched The Nice Guys and they threw that dead body over
the fence. Takes out the table.
Yeah. Takes out that table at that quinceanera or something. We're like, yeah, just do that. Like,
oh my God. No, but just imagine you pull it and then you just die. And you're just,
so you see this dead body just floating down.
You float down and just like that. You can't look. You perhaps get caught on top of the castle.
At the last moment, you do that thing where you point at your eyes and then point at one kid. That's going to haunt him forever.
Traumatized for life. He broke the mic or something. I don't know. Y'all, he is not okay right now.
I'm going to make a fucking animation out of that shit. Holy fuck.
So on that note,
I'm gonna make it.
Terrorizing someone with his flying corpse appears to have just struck something really deep in him.
Yeah. His creative spirit is sparked. Yeah.
Apparently.
So, it's like a fourth kind of spoiler. It's like a meta spoiler. The person playing the little sister of the grandmother is the actual little sister of the grandmother in real life.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That changes
a lot of her scenes a little bit.
When she's talking off the cuff and it's like, I decided not to tell her. That's the person that decided not to tell her.
Toward the end of, they have a wedding to bring everybody together, right? Like at the end of that wedding party, when she's talking about how she'll be okay when it's over, she has plans, but it's
that's her saying it's also
a very sad tone and maybe she's not in great health either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was like, I'm gonna go see my husband and blah blah blah.
Making her play that role is probably deeply traumatic in a way that she will never tell anyone because of the reason that she's not telling anyone else about the right.
Man.
So this kind of fucked up they made her do this, right?
I feel like this is just effed up all around, because the whole time they were like, these two people are going to get married. How long have you known each other? Like a month? Get married.
3 months. In real life, whatever they were known each other for a while. They had already been married. So.
It just bothered me, on top of everything else that was going along, that we have forced these people, maybe I saw it as more forceful, or sped up maybe what they had planned, to have this whole wedding to distract her from the thing that nobody was telling her.
Were they really getting married? Or they were just doing it.
No,
she was saying she's getting married.
No, they got married.
It was, in the movie, they said they were together for 3 months.
Yeah.
And Ayoko doesn't understand anyone, the wife that's getting married to get married.
Well, I was going to say, she's Japanese. And I was like, ma'am, are you
she could speak no man.
She just knew salute, when they were drinking or whatever.
Yeah.
And had a count, in the same way that the normal American knows eight words.
Yeah, she had an interpreter for her wedding speech.
Thank you.
going into those, knowing those things kind of changes the context of the movie, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A little bit.
So let's actually cover a couple of scenes. I'm going to start with the first one and then not necessarily go through all the scenes, but the first scene is actually pretty important to the context of
the whole film,
of
really.
The movie, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You okay, Pat?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
I have.
All right. I have.
Please okay. Continue the next spoiler.
Yes.
All right. So starting off in this movie, it says based on an actual lie, which is basically saying this is autobiographical. This was my life. This is how I experienced
it. Yeah, it's
it.
True, but the thing was a lie.
And honestly, I don't know to fact check this. I know nothing about the town that she grew up in or her family or whatever. Like, I guess part of the reason that this movie got as good a ratings as it is because it makes people feel cultured in America.
Like, it don't take much, do it.
Right, yes. yeah, so there's hospital sounds in the background. Billy, aka Awkwafina, is playing Lulu Wang, but she's going by Billy in this. She is an aspiring writer, and she applied to the Guggenheim, didn't get in, like we said, but she applied, and she is geographically distant from her grandmother, but emotionally very close. Mm-hmm. Her paternal grandmother is called Nai Nai, and she lives in Changchun, China. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly, but just think of it like if Detroit was in China. Okay. Because their major industry is automobiles and filmmaking to an extent, but you know there's a lot of car manufacturing places around here.
And they have RoboCop walking around shooting people in the day.
Maybe that too. So Billy calls her grandmother, and New York is about 12 hours ahead. Grandmother is like, "Why are you calling me? It's the middle of the night." And she's like, "Oh no, it's during the day." And then the grandmother is like, "Are you wearing a hat? It's probably cold there." She's not wearing a hat, but tells her, "Yeah, I'm totally wearing a hat, right?" And then tells her not to wear earrings because they'll get ripped out because you live in a dangerous town, New York. And then she starts asking the grandmother where she's at. And she's like, "Oh, I'm at my friend's house or whatever." And she's at the hospital. So they're like both lying to mm-hmm. each other. Nai Nai's sister, the little Nai Nai or whatever, says there's benign shadows on the thing, but it's nothing to worry about. So they have this whole thing was like, I want to spare your emotions. In this first scene, it kind of makes this dichotomy of like, it's okay to lie to people as long as it's
you're doing it for good.
For the good reason, yeah. Right?
A little white lie.
Right. And then it transitions to her parents' place, and her dad tells this story as kind of a joke. A man gets home and tells his wife the cat's dead. And she was like, "Why would you tell me so abruptly? That's horrible." And she's like, "What do you want me to do? Is like, say the cat was on the roof or whatever, like lead into it a little bit, right?" The wife gets home the next day and it was like, "So your mother, she got on the roof and then everyone laughs, right? And then Billy gets home after dinner with her parents.
Nobody else just thought that. Everyone thought that was too funny.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit too funny.
That's fucked up, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is everyone just politely laughing at this?
Yeah. Billy gets home and there's a bird in the apartment. She's like, "How the fuck did you get in here?" And the bird is basically symbolism of something, you know, was happening to her grandmother throughout the film. After the hymn, she gets to China as she's going to the emergency room. And at the very end, when she yells at the streets or whatever, there's like a flock of birds that flies away. Metaphors. So she goes to see her parents again to do laundry. The mother is like, "Your dad's upstairs taking a nap." And Billy asks, "Oh, is he drinking again?" She's like, "No, he's just tired." And then she's like, "No, for real, what's going on mm-hmm. here?" And they eventually tell her that her grandmother is dying.
Well, she goes to talk to her dad, who's just like, "Grandma's dying. You can't talk about it. You can't go."
And she's like, "I'm going to go." And they're like, "You shouldn't go. We talked about it. They said you're going to break our cover," which like is fucked up because everyone breaks character.
And her mom is like weirdly adamant about like repeatedly in this movie, like, "I'm not like you. I don't wear my emotions on my sleeves."
But
like,
you kind of do.
Like, you
it's,
do
like, it's like, okay, but you get really upset about this conversation.
And Billy's literally the only one who doesn't give up the fact that she's dying.
Yeah.
All the other ones, especially the dad, is like, he pretty much every time he's looking at his mom, he's basically like about to start crying.
Right,
I'm like, that was the one part that pissed me off. I was like, "Yo, motherfuckers, we're talking about her.
And y'all, y'all giving up the ghost every single time."
She basically scrapes together her own money on credit cards or whatever because she's like barely meeting rent and ends up in China to meet her family.
Which is still wild to me.
Right? That's not an unexpensive flight, right?
No, no, that's an expensive ass flight.
I'm like, I wouldn't be comfortable leaving the country when I'm behind on rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You don't know what you're coming back to,
or if you're coming back to, you know, that apartment. Just dump all your shit on the street and run.
If you're lucky,
they might auction it off for your rent. You don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's in China. Her parents are like, "What the fuck are you doing here?"
She's and like, "You can't stop me. Eat a dick."
Yeah. See, I'll be fine. And then she gives this big toothy grin to her mother, like, "Look, look, I'm doing okay. I'm acting."
See, I'm not going to tell the tale of how they get
some, you know, solid, mm-hmm.
some solid face acting there.
Yeah.
And actually, the camera work in this is surprisingly good. I think they took a bunch of wide shots and then did the editing to like head framing afterwards, mm-hmm. because this was a very condensed schedule. They only had like 28 days in China.
There's also a really just, you know, getting into the film technique. There's also something really fun they do in this that's completely eschewing the concept of setting up a shot, mm-hmm. because you just every time it transitions to something, you're in the middle of a scene now.
Yeah.
There's not like,
I appreciate that, honestly.
It's not like this scene is beginning. It's like you got to figure out the fuck's going on because you just got moved to this scene. Mm-hmm. And that it really helps with some of the emotional bits where it goes from quiet to the middle of shit happening, or mm-hmm. the other way around where it just like skips ahead to where the thing that was happening is over and people have to think about or feel about it.
Mm-hmm. I also like how little they do of meta narrative, you know, box text sort of stuff. Or like Mr. Exposition being like, oh, and this, we do this thing and that or whatever. There's like a little pinch here and there when they're talking about like visiting their grandfather's grave and like, oh, we do this so this doesn't happen. But it all, it feels relatively natural, all things considered.
Yeah.
And also like, obviously her parents saw the movie in real life, like her actual parents saw the movie and they were like, so mom and dad, what'd you think? And her dad was like, oh, this is great. Spot on with everything. And her mom was like, you made me too mean and you made your grandmother too nice. Which is like, it's what exactly you would expect those characters to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Honestly, I would have expected, like, you know, you didn't have to blow my cover about smoking. You didn't.
Yeah, right? Yeah, right.
You really didn't.
Like, you know
what?
You told too much tea. Uh-huh.
There is a great, they go to like grandpa's grave.
Uh-huh.
And there's a great thing where one of them lights a cigarette and just takes a quick drag to get it
to put,
pulled and puts it down. And they're like, don't give him that. He quit smoking. Like,
he told you that.
Well, they're just like, no, he didn't. No, weeks before he died, and he quit. And they're like, no, he told you he quit.
Right. Like, they were almost like, blow it out. And it's like, let him have the whole cigarette. Come on.
Yeah. Like, he's dead. What's he going to hurt?
Yeah. And they were also kind of like messing up the flowers so no one would steal them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Telling you, man, it's all about that face. You see unspoiled flowers mm-hmm. somewhere and you can steal them to make your thing bigger and better. Do it.
Yeah. And this is the thing, because like, we live in a town where there's a relatively large Asian population. At least for the United States, college mm-hmm. town.
Right? Universities, yep.
Right, university yeah. town. So there's a bunch of Asian markets, and I noticed on some of them, they had like what I assumed were like toys for kids, but it's actually stuff that you burn as offerings for yep. mm-hmm. your ancestors. So there's like little iPhones, packets of money, and like other stuff that's paper.
Yeah, it's like it's easily burnable representational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they give grandpa a jacket.
Yeah, they burn a jacket.
Yeah.
No, I think that's kind of cool. That you're like kind of in the mindset of these people. Obviously, most of the religions around here aren't necessarily ancestor worship. I don't know how you feel about Jesus or not, but you know, it's.
We're probably not a family.
Right, yeah. In the grand scale of humanity. But yeah, like I think it's kind of touching that you're like remembering them as more than just a figure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't exactly visit, you know, the grave sites or of
like,
my ancestors.
Like, just, or like the idea that you would try to still take care of them as part of the family after they're gone.
Exactly. And as a person who doesn't have kids, I'm like, you know, well, I don't really care.
And like the more crass part of my brain is like, so that there can be several cottage industries around selling you useless bullshit that you're going to set on fire in 2 minutes anyway.
Yeah, we have the 4th of July, so ours is a little, you know.
At least, yeah. But it's just like, oh, yeah, no, this is definitely a tradition mm-hmm. we're definitely going to maintain. It's definitely not so that somebody could... Profit like, I'm just imagining it. There's, you know, some fucking huckster traveling around with cheap paper shit he thought was going to be more convincing. And people were like, why is this obviously all fake and bad? Like, oh, you haven't heard? Yeah. Your ancestors are freezing to death in the afterlife. You better get this jacket to them.
This thing's paper thin. Yeah, I know. Better to burn.
How do you think it gets there? Jeez.
BS Reactor has a secret. If you guess the secret, they will send you a picture of the obelisk in the corner of the room that they dare not speak of. All human voices, music, and mixing is done by the crew. All rights reserved. Our music guy improvised all the piano tracks for the episode right before posting and mixed in a shit ton of reverb. He's hoping the room effects will distract you from listening too closely. You're fooling no one, nerd. If you have any comments, questions, or you want to give the robot positive reinforcement for its expert reading of this message, contact the show on social media or our website, bsreactor.com. And thanks for listening. They appreciate you. The robots wants to know why you things are so perved up about Sonic the Hedgehog. Seriously, give me a good strong 486 any day. Hear that? Papa likes older ladies.
Meow.